and we're up to the end of Perek Yud. We're up to the last pasuk of Perek Yud. Gam bima do achad melech al tekalel uvechadri mishkovcha al tekalel loshir. The word bima do achad means in your thoughts. We're in Perek Yud. We're Perek Yud pasuk chaf. The last pasuk of Perek Yud. Two more parakim after we finish Perek Yud, and then we're going to do Mirz Hashem Megillas Esther. Okay, but we have a little bit of time to go. It'll take another 2-3 weeks to finish. Your thoughts. The word b'madu'acha is a very unique word. It's a rare word, which means thoughts. B'datcha. Gesundheit. Lav davka. It means in your das. Your intellect. Toiro umada. The motto of Yeshiva University. Toiro umada. Gam b'madu'acha melech al tekalo. What?
How come I was there all those years that I never knew that?
Okay, so do not your thoughts, a person should not curse the melech al tekalel, in your bedchamber al tekalel, or shir, do not curse the rich man. Ki oif hashemayim yoylech, as I call the bird of heaven, he brings the sound. Uval kinafayim yagei davar, and the bal kinafayim is an extra hey yagei davar. He reports the matter. In other words, the wolves have ears. Big brother is watching. We are under surveillance. This pasuk is way ahead of its time. Today we all know. The NSA, it's a fact, they record every conversation, every telephone conversation, every cell phone, everything you do on the internet. There's no hiding. I read an article that basically it is impossible, your internet activity, it is impossible to conceal. If they want, the government wants, they can know every single thing that you do online. Every keystroke you take is recorded, because if you connect to the internet, it's impossible to hide yourself. I mean, there are laws in place, but the laws are abused, and it's amazing how Shlomo HaMelech was way ahead of his time. They're listening. Someone is listening to what you have to say, and they have to be very careful. Do not even have a machshav of klal in your thoughts, because a thought will eventually make its way to your dibur, to your koyach hadibur. Let's see the mitzvah of Stavet Pasukhov. Gam b'madocha, afilu b'machshav esach, even in your thoughts, al tekalel as hamelech, do not curse the king. V'lo esach shav, do not think she'en mi yodea machshav esach, lahal shin oitzcha lefnei hamelech. Don't think that there's no one's going to report, no one's going to relay your thoughts to the king. Even in your thoughts, because again, we have to understand that your thoughts will eventually manifest itself in your actions, in the nuance of expression, in your koyach hadibur, it's going to come. If a person trains himself not even to have a bad machshava about the melech, because you're putting your life in danger. Uvechadrei mishkavcha, in your bedchamber, be'echad mechadrei mishkavcha, mokam she'ein shamish, and one of your, that's the most private part of your home. The most private part of your home is your bedchamber. No one's supposed to be in there. Even there, ashir al pi roiv, moshla yad ha'ashir la'asoy sura el ha'makalalai. An ashir, it's not an absolute, but generally the wealthy are the people in power. And if you curse an ashir, he will take revenge. He has the power to bring harm upon you. Ki oif ha'shamayim, ratzalaymar, chish maher, swiftly. Yiye noidaloi, it will be known to the subject upon whom you have had an evil thought or an evil dibor, the king, as if a bird has quickly relayed the message to the subject. The af im kilo b'machshava mikol makom yimtza mishayovin hadavar birimizasai v'yagilos, we mentioned before, even if it's only in the thought, your thoughts are not invisible. Your thoughts, a person, people who are experts can study your mannerisms, and they can see what you're thinking, they can see your eyes expression, the how you compose yourself, and they know what you're thinking about. Can afayim who oif hashemayim who kafod up b'mila shonis we have a hidush repetition yagei davar ratzolaymar davar haklala will report the curse that you have uttered. And by the way, there are two different girsois. There's yagid davar and there is yageid davar. What do you have in your text? Yageid. Okay, so when you lay in, I've noticed this on Sukkot, when they lay in Koheles, sometimes the Baal Kori says Yagidavar, and they correct him. Someone corrects him, it's Yagidavar, and sometimes he says Yagidavar, and the people in the audience, they correct him, they should say Yagidavar. So which is correct? It's not clear. It's not clear what the correct... the correct Nikud is, but Rameski, what do you say?
The confusion is caused by
Yud. Is it Yagidavar or is it Yagedavar?
Where?
Here, right here, this pasuk.
Oh, I don't know.
The second Yud. Yeah. I don't have an opinion. There's only one Yud. What second? Yeah. Yagid.
Yeah. Yagid. That's why people would think to read it that way.
It's a question of Mesorah. It's a question of what is the actual tradition. Is it, yeah, there are Mesorahs going way back.
That's the reason for the confusion.
What do you mean? Because of the Yud?
Yes.
But the Yud could be follows its Seirah, and the Yud follows the Chirik. It's not a Raya, it goes either way.
A Chirik.
At Seri also, yes.
Yeah.
At Seri also has a yud.
Absolutely.
It's correct the way it's written.
So there are two ways to pronounce this word. There are two different mesoros. You look in all the chumashim, in the best chumashim, you'll find different versions, yagid or yagid. Okay,
by what pasuk are you numbered?
Chapter 10, Perek Yud, pasuk chaf, 20. Pasek Chaf.
No, I see it comes from my head, Yagid. I never thought about it, but in my head I say Yagid.
Yagid, okay. Okay, let's see over here what it says in Rashi, Pasek Chaf. Gam b'madracha, good morning. Gam b'madracha melech, afilu b'machshav esecha b'loy dibor. He translates the word like the mitzudos in your thoughts without dibor. Gam afilu melech al tekalel loy targis l'malko shalom. Okay, so here Rashi over here says the melech is not referring to a melech basar v'dam. We're referring to the melech malchei hamlochim. A person in his thoughts should not challenge, should not question Hashem's hanhaga. Afi gam afil melech al tekalel loy targiz l'malkoy shalom. Do not anger the king of the world. Dover acher kimashmoy melech basar v'dam. Why did Rashi first select the melech malchei hamlochim? Because thoughts, if you think about a melech basar v'dam, the mitzudah struggled. What's so terrible to have a machshava ra about a melech basar v'dam? Who is going to know? No one can read your thoughts. So the Mitzudah struggled, and he explained because it will come out in your very mizoysof, the way a person twitches, the way he blinks his eyes, the way he carries himself, it will become clear what he is thinking. Or the other interpretation, the Mitzudas did not say this, I saw this elsewhere, is that if a person saw this in the art scroll, that if a person will think machshavos ra'os, eventually he will slip. Okay, it doesn't take that all that long until you slip and you will actually say what you are thinking. Therefore, but Rashi seems to say that if we say that this pasuk refers to the melech malchei hamlochim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it makes it a lot easier because HaKadosh Baruch Hu certainly knows what you are thinking. Hashem knows your thoughts. Next, Ka'oif HaShemayim, Neshama HaNesuna. So here's a fascinating interpretation because what your thoughts are going to Ka'oif HaShemayim HaNeshama HaNesuna B'cha Sheisoifa Lo'uf Al HaShemayim. It will report. When a person goes to sleep, When a person goes to sleep, so every night, it's a very big mystery. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create human beings with the need to sleep? What is the purpose of sleeping at night? So Al Pi Kabbalah, when a person sleeps, his neshama reports back. The neshama reports back to Shemayim and brings an update on all of the mitzvahs and the averos, a progress report on where the person is holding in this world. So the neshama that ascends every night to heaven brings to HaKadosh Baruch Hu the machshavos, his thoughts, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the oif HaShemayim.
Uval, the oif HaShemayim seems to think it's like the expression a little birdie told me.
A little
birdie told me so.
Yeah.
Yeah, in other words, that's
okay.
Right. That's what he's, because he's also struggling with the idea
of oif HaShemayim.
You have a personal thought, and who's going to know?
Okay.
Only the Malcolm
says it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Are we dealing with Melech Basar V'dam? Rashi second. Rashi is the Rakhi in the second shot says Kimashmoy Melech Basar V'dam. Uvalkin Afayim Malach. Who is the Balkin Afayim? The Malach? Hamalave Oitzcha.
That has wings.
The Malach has wings. The Malach has six wings. Four wings before the Chorban had six wings. After the Chorban has four wings. The Baal Kenafayim Malach Hamamalava is called Keinyan Shenemar Ki Malachav Yitzav Loch, that his angels will accompany you. Ulefi Mashmoy Ha'Oivrim VeHashavim, according to the similar interpretation, the word Malach and the word Baal Kenafayim, the Oiv Hashman Baal Kenafayim does not refer to birds, because birds do not possess the ability to transfer words. It means passerbyers, people who come and go. You never know who's talking, never know who's listening. You think you're not listening. You're talking in the street. It's very, very funny to learn this pasuk. Yesterday, I was walking in the street, and I heard a very prominent person in this community. He didn't even realize I was standing. I was innocent, and he was talking on the cell phone, and he was saying some amazing things.
Look at us.
I can't tell you what he was saying. And then he turned, and I'm totally innocent here. I'm telling you, and then he turns and he sees me, and he realizes, what did I just say? Why is there someone listening? So you always have to be careful. Who is the Oivrim Vishavim?
And how do you explain the Malachim now?
It's a mashal. It's just a poetic, according to Rashi. Second, no, it's not. It's a different interpretation. Rashi's giving a new interpretation. Rashi says, Ki Malachim Yitzavachu Lefi Mashmo. According to the simple interpretation, it means Oivrim Vishavim. When it says here, the Oiv HaShemayim and the Baal Kenafayim, we're dealing here with just people who pass by. Yesh Lecha Lidag Mikol Briya Shema Yesh Shemim Diyagi Lacherim. Your person has to always be on guard. Watch out to who is listening. There's always someone watching and taking note, and there is always a concern that your behavior and your actions will be reported to someone else. Like we all know, today you cannot live in this world without being under surveillance. Wherever you go, there's a camera. And you don't even realize, people don't even realize that many of the cameras today have also recordings. They pick up sound. We all brainwashed that you can sit in front of the camera, you can look at the camera, but you can say whatever you want, no one's listening. Beware. Many cameras today have also...
Outside, everywhere?
Well, it depends where. Yeah, there's sound. And your telephone conversations and your cell phone conversations and your internet activity are all
Public phones also?
Public phones for sure are being monitored. Yeah. Even the private phones. The government has admitted that basically every single phone is recorded and it's stored in some massive football stadium database buried
in case of someone.
Surveillance. To prevent the next terror attack, Chas v'Shalom. That's what they tell us. Okay, that's what it says. So therefore, he was way ahead of his time. Now let's see over here the Targum. Good morning. Let's see the Targum. Targum Pasik Chaf. The Targum says, Gam bimado acha, af, also bimande och, in your thoughts. Now here is an amazing, amazing Pasik. Bechavyoni libach. Also in your thoughts. Now he adds in some interpretation. What's thoughts? He explains, Bechavyoni libach. In the most hidden part of your heart. Malko los silut. Do not curse the king. Now it does not tell us exactly who the king is. I am assuming from the end of the pasuk referring to the Melech Malchei Hamelachim. A person should not have evil thoughts concerning Kadosh Baruch Hu. Uve idroin beis mishkevach, and in the chamber. Idron means the chamber of your bed, of your bed chamber, basically the most private, poor part of your house. Lo silut chakima, do not curse a chacham. So notice that he translates the word oshir to a chacham. Not like the Rashi was silent on this matter. The Mitzudos said the oshir means literally a wealthy person, because wealthy people are usually in the position of power. Just like we have the melech who is in the position of power, the ashirim are usually in a position of power. So don't mess with leadership. Leadership, if you criticize leadership, they will take revenge, or they will put you in your place. So here he says, no, we're not dealing with leadership, we're dealing with the chachamim, the wise people, seemingly referring to talmidei chacham. That's really always the very general theme of the Targum. The Targum always has a very religious approach to every pasuk we look at. So the melech is the melech malchei hamelachim. Don't criticize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when it comes to talmidei chachamim, don't challenge them, don't criticize them. Why? And here, I don't know if they have here in this shul, there's a sefer called the Zil HaMalach.
Yeah.
Okay? You have it in your pockets? You have it in your wallet? The glove compartment. Okay? They sell it in Eichler's. What?
French fryer.
The prevents fire.
So look at those who wrote it. Okay.
So there's the secrets of creation. Is there even one person today who knows what it means? Can make sense? I'm not sure there's anyone around that knows what it means, but they have over here this segula. People are into segulas. They keep it in their home. It's a segula. There should not chas v'shalom be a fire.
Right.
The Sefer Ruzil HaMalach. And today it's a good business, so you can buy a miniature copy on, a miniature copy, keep it in your wallet, and you can buy a microfilm, keep it with
you.
Yeah,
a microfilm also.
A microfilm, and you can keep it all times to protect yourself from, is it really going to protect you? I really got to be a believer in these things. But it's the people, they make money off this. So
yeah,
this
Ezra brings down the process on Yeshua right before Yeshua dies.
Yeah.
He says, Bayom Yoshua El Kol Om Azeh Eben Azosti Eben Azosti Ebanu LeEda Ki Ishama. The stone hears. So Rashi just says he repeats what he's saying in the first derech over here.
Yeah.
What does that mean? He's talking about don't say anything against the Kaddish.
Don't when you're coming into Eretz Yisrael. When you're coming into Eretz Yisrael, he knows what you're thinking. Knows what he's saying. So here was the Targum was saying something a little bit different. He's saying over here that the person should not. Why? Because. Arum Roziel Mal Acha. You came just in time.
But where does he write?
Roziel HaMalach. What? The Targum. You don't have this in your Targum?
Yeah. Interesting.
The Targum says, in your thoughts, do not, in your innermost thoughts of your heart, do not curse the Melech. And in your bedchamber, do not curse the Chakima,
yeah.
The Talmidei Chachomim.
Yeah.
Don't challenge. Arum because Roziel Malacha. Roziel the Malach. Machreiz Bechol Yomim in Shemaya. Al Tur de Choreif, because Rozil HaMalach, he makes an announcement every single day from heaven on Har Choreif. Okay, that's the base. That's the Al Har Choreif, Har Sinai. He stands there, and he announces Umahalech Kolei B'chol Olma. And his voice travels throughout the entire world. So now, what does that mean exactly? Let's
what
go further.
He
announces, I guess the people, he announces all of the secrets. He announces the secrets of all, he announces the names of all of the Talmidei, the people that cursed, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Chas V'Shalom, and the Talmidei Chachamim. Ve'Eliyo Kahana Rabba, who is the Baal Kinafayim? Eliyo Hanavi. Eliyo Kahana Rabba. Now notice the great Kohen. Eliyo is a Kohen.
Yeah.
Eliyahu was a Kohen.
Even though he wasn't a descendant of Levi.
Well, that's the big question. That's the question. Giladi, where does he come from? Why is he a Kohen? There are many contradictions, but he says Eliyo Kahana Rabba. Ozel he goes, Ufarach Ba'aveh Rikia Shemaya Kinishwa. Eliyo flies in the heaven like a Nesher. Al Kanfei Nesharim. Okay, the Nesher is the one that has the wings. Kinisha Mori Gaf, like a Nesher that is the master of wings. Umechavei Milin, and it speaks, it relates the words. Mechavei means to speak the words, the misavdin, that are taking place, bit mirusa, in secret. He lets all the secrets out. L'chol d'yori aru, to all the people that live in the world. So we go back and read the pasuk inside according to the interpretation of the Mitzudot Stavi. The pasuk says, "Gam b'mado acha, in your thoughts, melech al tekalel, do not chas shom b'mavorech the ribayne shel olam, u'v'chari mishkavcha, in your bedchamber, al tekalel ashir, do not b'mavorech the talmidei chachamim, ki oif ha'shamayim yoylech esakol, because Roziel HaMalach, he reveals all of the secrets.
That's why his name is Roziel.
Maybe, very good. There, it's a very fact, good answer. Now you know, maybe you've uncovered a mystery. Based upon, pun intended, you've uncovered the mystery, the Roz, of why his name is Raziel, Roz Kel. The secrets that only Hashem knows. They are also revealed to him, and he reveals it. Uval Kinafayim is Eliyahu Hanavi. He flies in heaven like a Nesher with wings. Yagei Davari, and he reveals these secrets to the world. So you think that when you say it's going to be a secret, watch out, your secrets are going to be revealed.
What's the difference in their tafkid between Raziel Malach and Eliyahu Hanavi?
I don't know the answer. I don't know. A good question. What's the difference between Raziel Malach and Eliyahu Hanavi? I do not know. He does not tell us. He reveals all of the secrets. Okay, so we have here Lamaskana, three very interesting interpretations. We have the parish of the Mitzudos. We're dealing over here on a very simple level. We're dealing with a person should not have bad thoughts about a melech, basar, vedam, and a person should not curse a rich man who is usually a position of leadership and power. And because why? even in your thoughts, because your thoughts will eventually express themselves in words or will be noticed by other people. Because the bird, because now what does it mean, the bird, and what does it mean, the wings? According to the parish of the Mitzvot Stavra, it means the neshama. Because your neshama and the malachim, your neshama itself will confess to the Ribbono Shel Olam all of your inner thoughts, and your the malachim that accompany you will reveal all of these secrets. This is the that was the interpretation. I'm sorry, of Rashi. That was Rashi. Then the Mitzudos just said al derech pshat, as we mentioned, just says that it's just an expression. The oivrim v'shavim, people will reveal the great secrets. Okay, yeah. Now there's a very interesting idea presented here in the Sedasi Bamedinos. This is it's a little bit Kabbalistic. But he says as follows. He says that there are two different types of birds. Really, they really represent spiritual birds. It's the kosher and the non-kosher. He says the Baal Kinafayim represents kosher birds, and the Oif represents the non-kosher birds. And the difference between the two is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends forth a baskol. Okay, now he's borrowing this from another Chazal, and he says that in Shemayim, Kodesh Baruch Hu, sometimes he sends down prophecy, he sends down messages to prophets. When a navi is receptive to pick up a message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu before he gives it over to Klal Yisrael, he has to receive the message. How does he receive the message? So he's quoting a Kabbalistic Svarim. There are two different types of malachim, or two different types of birds, whatever this means, that assist in bringing the message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to a human being. The kosher bird is the one that actually delivers the message, but the non-kosher bird, this is very interesting, it removes interference. The non-kosher bird, in other words, in the airwaves, there is interference, there's static. There are things in the air that prevent the sound, the message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu reaching its destination, the mind of the Navi. So you need a creature, or you need some technique to clear the air, to clear the channel, clear the airwaves. The one that are assigned this mission are the non-kosher birds. That's their tafkin in this world. When they fly in heaven, again, this little Kabbalah, they are clearing the sound waves, they are clearing any possible interference, so that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will then send and transmit the message he has for the Nevi'im, or a Baskol for that matter, that comes to this world, the ear will be clear. Then there are the Malachim, which we're calling the Baal Kinafayim, who are going to actually transmit, receive or assist in the transfer of the message through the air from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the intended recipient. Okay, so he takes this idea and he says that's exactly what the pasuk here is saying. That's why we have this repetition. A person is sitting in his bedchamber and he's saying nasty things about the melech or about the asher. So he thinks, listen, there's nothing that can possibly go wrong. I ever see these, I am in a room where I'm surrounded, I'm like, I don't know what they call these things, I'm surrounded in a chamber where I have interference. It's impossible for someone to eavesdrop on what I'm saying in this room, because I'm in a room that has metal walls, and we run some type of interference, some type of static in the wall. This is some type of mystery novel, a safe room where you create your own interference to prevent someone else from listening to what's going on inside the room, and so therefore I have created a barrier. Interference. And number two, there's no one anyway that's watching. I'm absolutely certain that there's no one that has their eyes in this room to see what I'm saying, is listening device what I'm saying. To that, Shlomo rejects both of these ideas. He says, watch out. Don't curse the melech in your thoughts, or in the Chalim Shecha Al Tekal Asher. Number one,
Because ki oif hashamayim yoylechesakol, the oif hashamayim will clear the air. You may think that you have interference. You have created some type of interference to prevent people from hearing what you're saying. Like, don't they say that if you want to go talk, say something secret, so you're supposed to turn on the water, turn on the faucet? You ever hear this idea?
Yeah, that's what they all those spy novels.
So you turn on the water, you turn on the faucet.
Yeah.
So if you turn on the faucet,
the
so that creates an interference to your keenness. So no one's going to hear what I'm saying. I want to have a nasty conversation about the melech. We'll turn on the shower. And we'll go into the bathroom, we'll turn on the shower, and no one's going to hear what I'm saying because the sound of the water somehow creates an interference where the most sophisticated electronical devices cannot pick up. No. The Ribbono Shel Olam has his way. He has techniques that can clear the interference. That's what it means. The Oif HaShamayim Yoyliches HaKol. What's the call? The call of interference. He will... I don't know how to translate. I have to translate better translation to clear the air. And then the Baal Kinofayim, the electronic device that's here to pick up the secrets that are taking place, will now be able to function and transmit the secret message to its destination. So that's why we have repetition. Number one, the interference will be cleared up. Number two, there's someone listening. And the one that's listening will be able to collect and pick up the sound and bring the message to the one that needs to hear it. That's how he translates this thing, and he says these two concepts work when it comes the other way. When it comes to Baruch Hu, he wants to actually send the message of Nevuah. He sends it in this way as well. Alright. Okay, there was just something else I wanted to say. He has here another interesting idea. This idea is a little bit off the topic, but it's an interesting idea. The melech, who is the melech? The melech over here is the melech malchei hamlachim. And when it comes to the melech malchei hamlachim, we have the pasuk tells us about thoughts. A person in his thoughts should not curse the melech. How could the melech know what you're thinking? So we learned the mitzudas. The mitzudas says that even though it's only a thought, but to a wise observer, you're able to read a person's mind. You can tell by the way he moves his eyes, the way he twitches, the way he carries himself. You can tell with chokhmah what a person is thinking. But some of the commentators say it's something a little bit deeper, that the melech is the lev ha'am. There's an expression in Chazal that by a Jewish king, the Jewish king is the heart of the people. Is anyone familiar with the exact expression? The melech is equivalent to the lev ha'am, which means that a Jewish king as siyata d'shmaya, he can actually know what you're thinking. Being that the melech is the center of the whole Klal Yisrael, the melech has a koyach to even know what your thoughts are. And he proves this from Shmuel. What was the ma'aseh with Shmuel? Shmuel was told that you should go, the time has come where we're going to anoint a new melech. Shaul is no longer going to be the king. I want you, Hashem said to Shmuel, I want you to travel to David, to Yishai, and I want you to anoint one of Yishai's children. So Shmuel said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vayomer Shmuel el Hashem, Shmuel said to Hashem, Eich Eilech, how could I possibly go on this mission to anoint a new melech? V'shoma Shaul v'harguni. Shaul will kill me. When Shaul finds out that I'm going to the home of Yishai to anoint a new melech, he will kill me. So the question is, so Hashem says, you're right, what I'm going to do is, when you go, I want you to go with the kavana, tell people you're going to offer a sacrifice to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he will not suspect you.
a cover story, and there the Karosel ben Yishai bezevach, and there Vanochi Odiachos after Tasa. When you reach that location, I'll tell you exactly what to do. Now the question over here is, what is this going to accomplish? The fact is that if you're going there to the home of Yisha, even though you have a cover story, still Shaul will still be able to see through, to see what you're going to do. He's going to figure out your plan. And furthermore, why wasn't he afraid that he will be killed on the way back? He's only afraid, his entire concern was, I should not go, because if I go, I'm going to be killed on the way there. Why wasn't he afraid that he would be killed on the way back? So he answers here from the Eitzer HaChaim, the name of a very old sefer, is that Shaul, being that Shaul is the melech, there's such a concept that a melech has the melech is the lev ha'am, is the heart of the people. And the melech will know what you're thinking. If you're going to travel with the pure kavanah to anoint David as the new melech, Shaul will know what your plans are, even though you have not revealed it to anyone, because basically of this pasuk. This pasuk says, "Gam b'ma'adacha melech al tekalal." A melech has special siyata d'shmaya to even to know what a citizen is thinking, being that he is the lave of the people. Heart knows what you're thinking. Okay, something along those lines. A little bit. Okay, I didn't really prepare well, so we'll leave it with that. Okay, let's go to the next parak. Parak Yud Aleph. New sugya. New parak, new sugya. Shalach lachem chal pnei amayim ki b'roif hayomim timson. We're beginning now a new theme. According to most of the commentators, this pasuk refers to the mitzvah of tzedakah. A person should always give tzedakah, even if he has no expectation to receive something back in return. This pasuk means al pnei mayim. There are different ways the person can give tzedakah. The ideal way to give tzedakah is where the recipient does not know from whom the tzedakah has come, and the giver does not know to whom the money has been sent. Because if the recipient knows who gave him tzedakah, or the noisy knows who has received the tzedakah, then there'll be a degree of embarrassment when they meet up with each other. If you know this is the, or you'll look down, if I know I've given money to these people, when you see these people, you'll say, oh, I support these people, they should have some of their cheretz for me. A person will have a degree of gaiva, of arrogance, when he comes in contact with the people who are the recipients of his kindness. And furthermore, the recipients know who the benefactor is, they will have shame when they come in presence with the noisin. So therefore, the ideal form of tzedakah is where the noisin should not know who is receiving tzedakah, and the recipient should not know from whom the tzedakah has come from. And that idea is expressed in this pasuk where it says, "Shalach lachmecha, send your bread." Bread here is a code for food, for parnas, the support of the poor. Al pnei hamayim, along the water. Put a loaf of bread in a basket and let the basket make its way down the river, and somewhere down at the end of the river a poor person will find it and will derive benefit. And being that it's been through the medium of a river, it's traveled a long distance, you have no idea who has received your goodness, and the recipient has no idea from where it came from. And a person should not then make a mistake and think to himself, why should I give stock in such a fashion? I'm never going to have the possibility to be a recipient, for there to be reciprocation. Because if I give tzedakah and the person who I've given tzedakah knows where it came from, then if the chas v'shalom years later, or chas v'shalom at a point later on in time, I need a favor from these people, they will reciprocate and they will come to me and they will do kindness. But if they do not know who has given them kindness, then there's no way for me to have any expectation to receive kindness. So along comes the Apostle. The Apostle says, first of all, you should be aware that's not so. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is keeping records. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you give tzedakah, I guarantee years later that tzedakah, the kindness, will return to you. What is an example of this? So one of the Midrashim quotes an example of Yisro and Moshe Rabbeinu. What happened? Yisro comes to the well, he fights off the people, and he provides Moshe. For Moshe. Moshe comes to the well, and he gives Tzipora
water to drink, and he removes, he dismisses the people that are causing or are bothering her. So what does Yisro say to Tzipor? Who helped you? How could it be that you've come home so early? There was an Ish Mitzri Hitzilanu Miyada. So Yisro, an Ish Mitzri, an Egyptian man. I'm not going to let you marry an Egyptian man. I'm not going to go let you marry an Ish Mitzri. But listen, he's a nice guy. He did you a chesed. So let's reciprocate. Let's do with him chesed. Invite him. Keren lo the yoichal lechem. Did Yisro have any expectation at this point in time that he's going to get something in exchange for giving this Ish Mitzri lechem? No. Come into my house. You're a guest. You're new to this community. Come, I'll give you something what to eat. What happened by Yisro giving him lechem? That led, one thing led to another. Moshe married his daughter. Moshe became the Gadol Hadar, to the point where Yisro then went to the Midbar. And what happened in the Midbar? Moshe himself was the waiter and served a Yisro lechem. Aaron and the whole Klal Yisrael, the seven Zekedim, the whole Klal Yisrael came out in order to give kavod and lechem to Yisro. So look at this. Yisro went and he did a chesed with no expectation whatsoever that he would be rewarded. But yet, years later, how many years later? It must be many, many years later. Yisro was the recipient of the same lechem by Moshe Rabbeinu. Yisro here said, Kiren lo v'yoichal lechem. And in Parashas Yisro, it says that everyone came out to serve lechem with the Chosid Moshe to feed him lechem. Shalach lechem al pnei ha'mayim. Send your lechem al pnei ha'mayim, meaning don't have any expectation to receive reward for your kindness. Just like when you put bread in a basket and you send the basket down the river, and on the basket there's a label that says Cholov Yisrael, Galat Kosher, Tzedakah, only for Aniyim. You have no idea who's going to receive your tzedakah, and they have no idea where it came from. And don't make a mistake and think that you're not going to be rewarded. I guarantee you, Shlomo says, I have life experience. Ki b'roiv ha'yomim. Years later, timtzoenu, you will find that loaf of bread. You yourself will be the recipient of that kindness. It will make its way back to you. It will boomerang on you. Yeah, was there something?
No, I wanted to mention to the Ish Mitzri Zilonah, they were talking about an Ish Mitzri. Because Moshe Rabbeinu killed the Egyptian, he had to run away to Midian. All this occurred
because of the Ish Mitzri.
Right.
It's all because. But he was identifying himself on a very similar level as an Ish Mitzri. And Yisro seemingly had nothing to do with Mitzrayim. He had no expectation to have anything to have any. But he went and he gave him bread.
That's
yeah?
Because, off the topic still, but from Baba Basra it says that that's when Moshe was buried in Kutzlaris.
He wasn't proud to be a Jew.
Just kept saying, I'm a Jew, I'm a Jew.
I'm an American.
Contradictory evidence.
One of the best lectures I've heard from Rabbi Zachariah Wallerstein. He has a fantastic lecture, and he says when people go to Eretz Yisrael, they come back from Eretz Yisrael and they come to the airport JFK, and there are two lines, customs, either for the American citizens or for foreigners, and most people, press and company included, Baruch Hashem, I'm an American citizen. I'm an American citizen, and I'm not like all these other people. And you go right to the lines. No, the lines go much, much faster. The American citizens, they go, the lines are much unusual. At least when I was there, I haven't gone in a very long time, so I don't know. But American citizens, I'm an American, and I have all the rights of an American citizen. You come, you go through the line, through customs, and you get out of the airport very quickly. And you look with disdain, subconsciously, look at all those foreigners. So he says, how dare you? You shouldn't view yourself as an American citizen. You should view yourself as part of Klal Yisrael. You're also a foreigner in this country. That's the problem. We feel too comfortable living in Chutz Eretz. You should catch yourself subconsciously. I'm an American. You're not an American. You're a Yehudi. Ish Yehudi. More than one saying. Ish Yehudi Hoya B'Shushan Abira. The Iker is you should feel, I'm a foreigner. You shouldn't feel proud to be
part of Baruch Hashem, you have rights. No one is saying you have to be an American, but you have to realize that your real heart should be with Eretz Yisrael.
But he didn't go on the other line.
He can't. He can't go on the other line because you have to, maybe you could, maybe you're right. But you go, it's like, you know, easy pass. If you go on the lot, you want to wait to pay cash, you know, let's say you get stuck. It happened to me, so you get stuck on the wrong line. There's traffic, and you really can't easily, safely go to the lane that says easy pass. And you're on the cash, and you come up to the clerk, and the guy clerk says, you have easy pass, just go. the lane that takes cash also takes easy pass. So you're right. If you go on the line that has foreigners, you probably also can go there through with the American passport.
And Sephorno makes an interesting deal why it says Al Hanei Amoy.
Yeah.
Water is the only thing that moves very swiftly.
Yeah.
Spreads the wealth very. In other words, you give tzedakah Al Hanei Amoy figuratively.
Speaking. You should give the money in a way where
it's the world. The only thing and does it fast.
The tzedakah should be distributed quickly.
So that's the point of putting it on.
Al Hanei Amoy. Don't hoard the money. Let the tzedakah be distributed very quickly. Let's see the mitzvah stuff. Shlach lavach al pnei hamayim v'lo tzachshav shamayim yolich oisol l'murachay l'makor shem timsos. So a person, he learns the derech pshat. I'll do a little bit different. A person should not make a mistake on things. If you're going to put your bread upon the water, it's going to take it to a place where it's where no one's going to find it. That's not so. Kibirvos hayamim timsenu. It will be found. You will find it. When you put your bread upon the water, ultimately the bread will be found. It's not going to go to a location where no one's going to find it. Now, what is the message? V'inyin moshe loymar. Give your money to a person to whom you have no expectation to receive something in return. There's no expectation for reciprocation. Just like putting the money on the water, you think that the water, you'll never see it again. I'm going to put my bread on water, and it's going to take it to a very, very far place. There's no way in the world I will ever see this bread. So too, when you give tzedakah to people to whom you think you do not expect to have anything in return. Ki achar yomim rabim, ultimately, after many, many days, tekalu menu tashlam gemul, ultimately, you will receive reward for your efforts from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi pasuk aleph shlach lachem al pnei hamayim asei toivah v'chesed l'adam sheyom lecho libech olav al tireu od. To a person to whom you say to your heart, I'll never see this person again. Why should I give tzedakah to this individual? I will never see him ever again in my life, and therefore there's nothing in it for me. There's no expectation that he will reciprocate. Don't say that. Ka'adam shemashlich mizaynosav, just like a person that puts his bread upon water, the water takes the bread to the other end of the world. Don't say that. That's a mistake. Because kibiroiv hayamim timtsuenu, od yamim boim, days will come. Usekabel tashlumcha, and you will receive your reward. Re'ei ma nemar b'yisrei. Here's the measure that we've quoted. Kiren lo v'yoychal lochem. V'savru hu mitzri. He thought he was a mitzri. V'lo yirenu od. He will never again see Moshe Rabbeinu ever in his life. Ma hoyo soifo. Nase chasanoi. Moshe became a son-in-law. U'melech al Yisrael. V'chnitzer tachas kanfei hashchina. V'zoch u'bonov. U'bnei bonov. Leishev b'lishkas hagozis. And Yisrael's own descendants sat in the lishkas hagozis in the Sanhedrin. And more than that, the Medrash goes on further. Rashi is really taken from the Medrash. The Medrash goes on further that and say that Yisrael Moshe himself later served Yisrael bread. So there's a lot of depth in that pasuk. The Torah, when the Torah says that Yisrael served bread, it's showing full cycle. Yisrael started out his relationship with Moshe Rabbeinu as an act of chesed v'yoychal lechem. The last thing we hear about Yisrael explicitly in the Torah is the fact that Moshe now is serving bread to Yisrael. It's a full cycle. There's no expectation. That's really what the Medrash at the end says. For some reason, Rashi did not make that point over here. It's a mystery. That would be really a nice point to make. But Rashi left out that point. Okay, let's take a look at the Targum. Pasuk Aleph. Shlach Malach Mecha. Distribute bread of Parnassah to poor people that travel in boats, in other words, in far places, al pnei maya, upon the mayim. So according to the parish of the Targum, we have now a new insight of the pasuk. When it says the water, it means the boats, ships.
Right.
Give your tzedakah to poor people that are traveling on the seas, that are traveling far away from you. You'll never see them again. Tamon there, why? Because there, I'm sorry, I'll pay Ma'ayah. Arum, because Besar Idan Yom, because after many days, Sagion, because after many days, Tamon there, Tashkach, Agre, Le'omid, say there you will find your reward. Where will you find reward? So here is also something very different than what it says in the Rashi and the Mesudos. Not in this world. Do not expect to receive reward for your kindness in this world. That's not what the Targum Mitzudah says, and that's not what Rashi says. Rashi and the Mitzudah says that you can expect the Chanuni no Bezois. That's one of the things which we have a tradition that Aser Bishvil Shetis Asher. A person should give tzedakah so that you will become wealthy. Hashem, the Chanuni no Bezois, Yomer Hashem, you can test me. I guarantee you will not lose out from giving tzedakah. For whatever reason, the Targum is not working with that approach. He says, give tzedakah to people to whom you will never see again, to aniyim that are traveling on ships and they're going to far places. In many days from now, you will find reward. What does it mean in many days from now? It means olam haba. That's what it says. Taman tishkach agre la'olmo da'ase. There, in that gift that you have given, you will find reward in the next world. Now,
yeah,
now
the Bible says very interesting, but it looks like he's talking about his own life on some. He had a lot of aggravation with these town people. It says, don't give up. Keep giving tochacha to your...
Oh. That's another interpretation. I wanted to come back.
Right,
so he has a whole different approach. We'll get that in one moment. Right. He learns that this pasuk is not discussing tzedakah, it's discussing toichach. We'll get that in one moment. Right. But the common denominator of the Mitzudos, Rashi, and Targum is we're dealing with tzedakah. The only question is, are you going to receive reward in this world, or are you going to receive reward in the next world? Now there's also a little bit of a diki, but Roif Hayamim, some of the commentators want to say that there's a bracha here, a hidden bracha of Arichas Yomim, that if a person indeed he gives in other words, it's not just that you're going to be a recipient, it's going to come back to reward you. It's going to come back to reward you in a very, very long time from now. Meaning, you will also merit Arichas Yomim. The giving of tzedakah brings with it the reward of long life. Now, Rav Mayevsky mentioned, who you say this from the Malbim? I think Malbim said that this pasuk is really teaching you the laws of Musar. A person thinks that giving Musar, you give Musar to a person and he's not listening to the Musar, that's not so. You're giving Musar to a person, you never know the effects of Musar can have upon a person, even though now the recipient, the one that's listening to your words, appears to ignore and to disregard them. You don't realize ki b'roiv hayomim tinsa'enu, that after many years, it will come back. I read, it's very interesting that there was a he wrote a very interesting article, Rabbi. Kamenetsky. He writes in all the papers. I've got his name. His name is Binyamin Kamenetsky. Binyamin Kamenetsky. So he writes that many years ago he lives in Far Rockaway, and there was a neighbor that was completely irreligious, and every so often he used to completely knew from absolutely nothing. And every so often, he just tried to be mekar of them in a very subtle way. He would bring them shalach lanos. He would see them on Shabbos. He would say good Shabbos. He just did very, very simple things. And this went on for a couple of years, and they knew from nothing, zero, zero, less than nothing, he said. Then they left. Where did they end up going? Somehow they made their way to Israel. They made Aliyah, not for religious reasons. They just went. They went forever. They were Israelis. And then many years later, he happened to meet them. And this woman who he used to give shalach manos, she says, you know, Rabbi Kamenetsky, because of you, you should know that in Israel, I'm not observant, I'm not Shomer Shabbos, but in my community, my kibbutz, or my community where we live, we do certain religious things. Maybe we observe Yom Kippur. She mentioned a few things that they do, and I have to tell you that it's only because of you. Because being with you all those couple of years when you moved into the community and just your presence, it awakened within me a guilty conscience that I also should be slightly religious. So years later, when I had an opportunity, I came to a community where everyone was completely religious and we wanted to do something. It's only because of my relationship with you that I felt this would be the right thing to do. And that's a really very... And he just said, he wrote this article, he said, it's been so many years, 30 years, since I've seen these people, and look at that. a small little thing, you don't know when you do a small little thing, you're planting a seed, you don't know what can come from that so many years later. And that's exactly what the Malbim is saying in Pshat this Pasuk. Shelach lachmach al pnei hamayim. Send your bread on the water. The water is a place you'll never see payos from what you're doing. Your bread will be sent far, far away. There's no expectation for you to see payos from your efforts of musar, of chesed. But you don't realize that many, many years later, you don't realize what a little small thing can do. Ki b'roif hayamim timsenu, it will come back to reward you. Okay, there's another interpretation of this pasuk. This pasuk is referring to giving you practical advice that when you, the lachamcha here refers to planting grain. When a person should have a backup plan for life. When you plant grain, you can plant it either in the middle of the field, which is far away from the river. And if you plant in the middle of the field, you have to rely upon rain in order for the seeds to grow and produce a crop. Or you can plant your seeds along the edge of the field right near the river. What's the advantage of planting it near the river? That in case it's a season where it does not rain, the seed will at least be able to live off the moisture that's drawing from the river that's near the edge of the field. So there are always advantages in planting away from the river, but he's giving you advice, don't put all of your eggs in one basket. Shalach lachemcha, send your bread al pnei hamayim, near a natural source of water. Because if you go out and you plant your seeds in a place where you're distant from natural seed of water, then keep a roif hayamim, because what's going to happen many years later, there's no guarantee years later that it's going to rain. It's always going to rain. The time will pass, and perhaps it will be a season where there is no rain, and nothing will grow. But if your seeds have been planted near a source of water, then timsa'enu, then they will live off that moisture, and they will survive, and you will have what to eat. And the mashal is, a person should not cut himself off from his family and from his community. Person can have an idea, I'll go out of town, I'll go to Las Vegas. There is a Jewish community there, but I'll go to a place where there is now. Years ago there wasn't. Lubavitcher, they didn't want to let shluchim even go there. But a person can have an idea. A person can say, you know what? I'll go. I will settle in a place, in an environment, in a community where there is absolutely no Yiddishkeit. But I'll be okay. Why will I be okay? I'll bring with me everything that I possibly need. I'll bring a set of Mishneh Berurah, I'll bring some Kedem grape juice, and I'll bring some matzah, and a Chanukah menorah, and it's guaranteed I will survive and thrive. There'll be Yiddishkeit in the Hicks, in the middle of nowhere. It's true. If everything goes according to plan, you'll survive. But what happens if things don't go according to plan? Then you're going to starve. You're going to starve spiritually. So therefore, if you want to go out, always at least stay near. Don't cut yourself off entirely from your roots. The Mayim is a mashal for Torah, for the Shoresh of Chaim, of Torah, Mitzvos, your community, your family. Shlach lachmecha, when you want to send forth your lecha, meaning you want to go for parnasa reasons or for any pursuit of life. Lechem is kialeh, is chayim. If you want to live, you want to send, you're not comfortable in this community, in this environment, and you want to go and explore the world, okay. But always remember to stay al pnei hamayim. Don't distance yourself too far. Always connect yourself, be along the edge of the water. Because if you go out too far, even though you have a solid, bulletproof plan, if something goes wrong, you're dead. If you're near the water, you'll be able to draw spiritual sustenance from the water, similar to the mashal we've given where you're planting your seed along the edge of the field where it's at least near a river, better than plant your seed in the middle of the field, or the edge of the field where you're relying 100% upon the rainwater where there is no guarantee that it will come. Why?
Never push him too far. Always, I mean, Yitzchak realized when Hashem gave, put words in his mouth and gave Yaakov the bracha. So he realized that God was giving him a message that Esav was, Ayodayim Yedei Esav. He wasn't deserving of the bracha, but he still gave him a bracha because he was still his son.
Connected. He was still connected.
Always hope that somewhere along the line
he'll come back.
Close, maybe.
Okay. Okay. Very nice. Okay. Let's just begin the next pasuk. This next pasuk is a very famous pasuk which has many interpretations. Tain chelik l'shiva v'gam l'shivoina l'shmoina. The person should give his portion for 7 and for 8. So they say da ma yero alaris. You don't know the evil that will come to the world. Now, what does this mean? Let's see the mitzvahs first. Tain chelik chalik matan l'shiva b'nei adam l'shmoina, and also for 8 people. In other words, according to the mitzvahs, the first thing you have to know is that this pasuk pshat is referring to tzedakah. It is a continuation of the previous pasuk. Just like it says in the previous pasuk, you shall send your lechem al pnei hamoyim to a place where you don't expect to get to people who don't, you have no expectation to reciprocate. Give to a lot of people. Don't just give your tzedakah to one person. Give your tzedakah to 7 people. And give it even to the 8th person. We further, Rotzu Laimar, Tein l'chol v'lo yiru b'einecha. And I think it should be yiru. It should not be evil in your eyes.
Don't think that it's too much.
Too much? It's not too much in your eyes. Give to everyone. What do you mean? The ochaz mispar shiva ku kol al hacheshbain. The number 7 represents a complete amount. You would think that when you get to the number 7, you've done everything that you're responsible to do. I've given the tzedakah to every organization in the phone book. That's what it says in the number 7. No, guess what? There's give even to the 8th. Give it even to the organizations that don't have a tax ID number. Okay, don't just give to all of the legal organizations that have gone through the effort of having the tax ID number. Gam l'shmoina, give to the collectors also. Even the amal l'shmoina koimer af im nosatel l'chlal cheshbon. You've already come to the point of shiva. I've done everything on the books. Give even more. Tainod, give, go the extra step number 8. Why? Because you don't know what the future will bring. Because maybe the time will come when there will be evil in the earth and you'll be going to exile, and now you will be on the receiving end. And if you have assisted these organizations, then they will come to your rescue. Or you will have a place, if you set up a Chabad house in Alaska, and you have to go to Alaska, so you'll be nena, you'll be able to have a place to daven. You have a place to go. You'll have to go to swim, literally to swim in the lands, meaning you'll have to go into exile. You may need to come on to all of the recipients of your kindness and ask them to help you back. So you'll never know who will you'll need in the future. So everyone that comes and asks you for a handout, always be generous and kind. That's right. All he says the mitzvah. It's a very similar interpretation of Midrashim. 7 is just we're dealing with tzedakah. 7 is the number I've given to every organization. 8, give even more. Give a beyond, because you don't know the day of Ura is coming, and you're going to come need them. Let's see Rashi. I'm going to come to Eved Ezra. I know.
Days of the week.
The 8th day of the week. We'll come down in a moment. Very good. We'll come down. Let's see Rashi first. Rashi says, Ten chelik l'shiva v'gam l'shmoina chalakta milachimcha u'mishalucha l'shiva tzrichei chesed. Even though chalakta, you have distributed from your bread and from what you possess to 7 poor people. It's just like what the Mitzudo stuff said. Exactly the same idea. Chalek od l'shmoina. Give tzedakah l'shmona sheyavo acharehem to 8 more people that come after the 7. The al toimar dayin, do not say enough. So he's not exactly the same thing as the mitzudos, because according to the mitzudos, the number 8 means the 8th. According to Rashi, it means 15. 7 plus 8 is 15. It's not enough just to give to 7 people. If 8 you're done for the day, the business is closed. 8 more collectors are outside the door waiting to collect. I've already given today to 7 collectors. There are 8 more. So give to the 8 more also for a grand total of 15, and you should never say die.
Kilo seida maye ro shema od yamim bohim. Maybe evil days are coming. Vititztarech luchulam, and maybe you'll need all 15 people to help you. O tinotzel al yidei hatzdaka min hara'a, or another interpretation, maybe that in the zuchus of tzedakah, tzedakah tatzil mimaves. So maybe in the zuchus of giving tzedakah to all these people, you'll be safe from harm. V'im lo yachshavim osai. And if now, not now, then never. Because now the only time a person can, it's preventive medicine, is when the war has not yet come. Mm-hmm. By giving tzedakah in advance, you are preventing ra. V'rabaseinu amru. Okay, now he begins the series of midrashim. What is the significance of number 7, number 8? V'rabaseinu amru. Tein chelik v'goymer. Elu shiva yimei bereshis. There are 7 days in creation. Dedicate one of these days towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, be a Shomer Shabbos. One day a week should be devoted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tein echad mehem chelik liyotzrecha lanuach to rest b'Shabbos. What does it mean? 8? Dedicate part of your body to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Bris Milah. The Gam L'Shmona, Elu Shmona Asimei Milah, the 8 days of Milah. The 8th day of birth, dedicate that 8th day of life to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by performing the mitzvah of Milah. That's one interpretation. So it's Shabbos and Milah. Why do Rashi select these 2 signs? Because these are the 2 oisos, the 2 edim. That's why we do not wear tefillin on Shabbos. Because we have 2 edim that testify that we are observant and we are connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We do not need the 3rd ois of tefillin. Dovar Acher. What is the other interpretation? Chilik l'shiva. What's the word? What do you have here? Do you have l'shiva? I have a test. L'shiva. What is that? Karbono sibar shel shiva simei Pesach. Give a portion to the 7 karbonos of the tzibur of the 7 days of Pesach. I'm not sure what that means. The seven kivosim. I'm not exactly sure the musafim. I'm not exactly sure. I do not know what it means.
But what's the point?
The 7. The person who will explain. Let's see why. The gam l'shmona shel shmonas yimei hachag. That a person should offer korbanos on the 7 days of Pesach and the 8 days of Sukkos, 7 and 8. Why? Ki lo seida ro matiya ro im yichorev habayis. If chas v'shom the base hamikdash is destroyed, v'lo yisakrivu od. So this is amazing what he says. And you'll no longer have the ability to offer korbanos v'yoilu harishonos. The korbanos that were offered in earlier times will serve as a kapara, an atonement, or a segula for klaus from later generations. That's an amazing idea. So Shlomo HaMelech Ovir is addressing the people living in this generation, the people that had a Beis HaMikdash. As long as you have a Beis HaMikdash, observe the Yom Tov, the 7 days of Pesach, the 8 days of Sukkot. The korbanos you offer on these days are going to be very, very important, and it will be a zechus for Klal Yisrael for the future when there won't be a Beis Hamikdash. That's a very interesting interpretation. Dover Acher.
Why do you need Pesach itself? Is everything, every carbon is the same as opposed to Sukkot? I mean,
and what about Shavuos? What about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Right. So
Shavuos is one day. So.
But why does he only focus on these 2 holidays?
Why do you need 7 days? Just the
carbonus, the 3 days. The seven days of Pesach and the 8 days of Sukkot. I don't know why. What happened to Shavuos? What happened to Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur? What happened to Rosh Chodesh?
Because of
Geshamim? The 8 days, so he's saying that the korbanos of Sukkot is for Geshem. That's the Ra'ah. And what about Pesach? What are the korbanos for? Al Peiros Se'ilon. On Rosh Hashanah, we are nidoin on Tevua. On Tevua. And on Sukkos, we need it on Geshem. Geshem and Tevua are 2 parts of one whole. Maybe that's the understanding. You need Geshem in order that the Tevua should grow. So the rain and the Tevua are 2 parts of one whole. The Korbanos of Pesach are Zuchus for the Tevua, and the Korbanos of Sukkos are Zuchus for the Geshem. This is Parnasa, and we need this Zuchus of Parnasa in the time of the Beis HaMikdash to prepare for the time when there won't be a Beis HaMikdash, that a Klal Yisrael should always have Parnasa. Okay, that's... What? Yeah?
Somewhat off the top question. Would you say
Say it again, who was Nifter? The Sephora, I do not know when he was Nifter. I don't know. 15th century. The 15th century. The Sephora was Nifter in the 15th century. Okay, let's go further. Let's go Dover Acher. This is a Dover Acher. Saying Dover Acher, you don't know what's going to be with regard to rain, the Chag, the Ilu Karbonis, the Yivatal Gezeru Sros. So you don't know what's going to happen there for the Karbonis you're going to offer during this time, it's going to be Vatal the Gezeru Ra. Okay, to conclude, this will include with the parish, what he mentioned from Rabbi Raevsky, mentioned from the Ibn Ezra. It's a very fascinating idea. How many days are there in the week? 7 days. What's the 8th day of the week? Sunday. 8th day of the week is the next week. It's a cycle. There are 7 days Shabbos. After Shabbos, the day after the 8th day of the week is Sunday. What's the significance? It means to continue the cycle. Just because you've gone through a cycle doesn't mean it's over. It means you start again. So the deeper meaning of the pasuk, according to the parish of the Ibn Ezra, is Tein Chelik L'Shiva. You should give tzedakah all 7 days of the week, or you should serve Hashem, give of yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu all 7 days of the week. And don't be foolish to think that once you've gone through the cycle, I'm done, I'm finished. V'gam L'Shmona, start. Good morning. Start all over again after you finished going through the cycle. Start the cycle all over again. That is why we once discussed this at great length. That is why the letter Ches in the Ksav of Beis Yosef is made up of two Zayins. What is the letter Ches in the Sefer Torah? Two Zayins with a Chatoitres, with a connection, a bridge. What? Because what is Ches? Ches is takes you from one cycle of seven to the next cycle of seven. I've done seven, and now we're going to go to the next cycle. We're going to repeat the cycle over and over again. You don't know what the future will bring, and you always have to continuously renew yourself. Just because you've got through the past, there's no guarantee for the future. So therefore, you have to continue to be devoted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and giving stuck in doing Ma'asim Tovim, so that in the future you will have this chus to be protected against any harm, Chas v'Shalom. Okay, we'll stop over here.